Everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome once more to the Reckless Attack Podcast, a fifth edition Dungeons and Dragons show. See, I'm a show. We're a show because I said podcast or like already. So
that hurt me.
Yeah. Do we not actually play on the show?
Like that? You didn't do it in the my chest hurts.
An actual play show.
I was waffling before starting this episode if I should do it like a cold open or if I should do the regular open. But I was like, no, I'm going to jump in because it'll bring some nice energy. And now everyone around the table looks like they want to vomit at me.
What the hell, Nathan?
So hello, everyone. Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons.
Check it out.
We're Reckless Attack. We're a fifth edition Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast.
I feel so much better.
As always, your GM, Nathan, joined around the table by the excellent, if, you know, maybe a bit rigid in their ways, in their audio presentations, rest of the table here at Reckless Attack, starting across the table from me with...
Hi, everyone. I'm Jonathan, and I play Checkers, the Grung Druid, and his trusty frog pals, Mango and Junior. And I have heard Nathan say the exact same thing 128 times, and I will not accept anything different.
I have never once deviated.
No.
I've never said anything different than those exact words in that order.
Right, exactly. And to my left. Hi, everyone. I'm David, and I play Kaskrin, a dwarven... What's he? Sorcerer.
He's purely a sorcerer at this point.
Oh, man.
Dwarven sorcerer.
Maybe we aren't playing Dungeons & Dragons, because if we're forgetting classes now, then uh-oh.
And I have heard Jonathan say the exact same thing 128 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very good at it. And to my left.
Hi, everyone. My name is Steve, and I am playing Selv Asterlin, the Dragonborn Monk. And perhaps I should propose a change, is that we get a randomized table of all of the words in our intro, and then
this
roll like a percentile die.
and then
that's what we open with. So,
Hi, everybody. I'm Sophie.
way to take
Valeska
control.
Carter. The human asterisk cleric asterisk of the Arcana domain, asterisk on Arcana domain, because I've fudged some things up on a Google Doc. And I'm ready to play Dungeons & Dragons.
Hey!
Asterisk.
Well, I hope you guys are ready, because the Golden Tree Guild finds itself in a... we don't know if it's technically a bad position. Yeah,
Vale's life was threatened. So,
I wouldn't call.
That's a little harsh, don't you think?
If you survive isn't a threat, that's like a hey, I'm pulling for you. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to talk about
it.
On
Celestia Dreamweaver, vibe check on Celestia Dreamweaver.
That's right, everyone. The Golden Tree Guild has been once again kind of plumbing the depths of Agmar in the very creepy underground piles of bones that just exist there. And at the end of all these winding tunnels through some doorways and automatons that needed defeating, well, you found, I won't presume that this was something you didn't necessarily expect, but you found Celestia Dreamweaver, or what seemed to be what maybe once was and is again. It's not entirely clear. There wasn't a lot of time for kind of like full introductions and such, but when she waved her hand, some weird magic stuff happened. And so last we saw our heroes, blackout. For everyone, including Valeska Carter, despite all of her asterisks, was put to sleep. And the four of you are now aware. You are conscious. Or are you? The details around you are a little fuzzy. You see the rest of the group around you. This all feels very normal. The fact that you are standing here, not on a floor that you can see, seems very normal. That there's no real walls here, totally not a problem. And when the 3 to 4 story tall visage of Celestia Dreamweaver appears before you, similarly, totally normal. This figure does not look like the creature that you saw before you some time ago. It looks like every fresco, every portrait, every sketch, every depiction that you have ever seen of one of the world's great tyrants. She is wearing opulent robes. She has a beautiful sword strapped to one side and is holding a scepter in the other hand. On her right shoulder is what appears to be a pauldron that looks like a gargoyle's face that is leaking a pink smoke that swirls all around her. And to top it all, obscuring her face is a headdress with a shroud with a solitary red eye painted onto it. This shroud, you know, is the Shroud of Resurrection, the iconic object of focus. A voice, no longer that of a husk, but that of a ruler, rings out in this strange space. This is a dream.
Is a dream.
I have much to learn and much to tell. And I am not yet what I once was. So pay attention. Stay alive. And remember. Everyone roll for initiative.
Taskrin with a 19. Checkers also with a 19.
Selv with a 15.
Val with an 11.
What little reality was around you all fades away. And you find yourself in a new place. You're not really sure how you got here, only that you are here. And as the first PC in initiative order, Checkers.
Yes.
Could you tell me where the Golden Tree Guild finds themselves here in Checkers' dreamscape?
So as we all know, Checkers is an amphibious creature.
Mm-hmm.
And so is his buddy Mango. And he has spent a lot of time traversing the deep blue sea. So where the Golden Tree finds themselves is actually in the middle of the ocean.
My nightmare.
I know.
Why would you do this? On the first round!
And there aren't really any landmarks in the area. It's really just like, imagine being in the middle of the ocean, water as far as the eye can see, and you are just dunked into the water. And Checkers is going to call out, "Oh no. Oh no, this is bad."
"What? What?"
"Oh, the dream always starts like this."
"What do you mean always starts like this? Have you had this dream before?"
Checkers, before you get the chance to explain what this very specific dream is, all five of you, again Mango included, see two dark spots in the sky. And they are growing larger and larger by the moment, as you see two giant boulders hurtling from somewhere straight at you guys. Val and Checkers.
Yes.
They are coming straight towards you.
Okay.
First one, Val.
You need to beat a 14.
Oh, that is a miss.
Val dives down into the water.
The second one is a 27.
That is not. That is not fair. This is my dream, damn it.
It's your nightmare.
Oh, yeah, fine.
So there's one huge kerplush as this hunk of rock lands right next to Val. I don't know if you just like get lucky or do you swim out of the way? Do you like dunk yourself down?
Val swims down and then the like wave of this boulder crashing like catches her in its wave and like pushes her out further.
I like that you're setting up early battle trigonometry.
Yeah, I gotta.
Away from where the rocks came from. I don't know. We'll see. Checkers, Yikes-a-roni.
Yes.
You take 18 points of bludgeoning damage. About 60 feet away from you guys, you see a creature standing on what appears to be a makeshift raft, kind of like a series of just like wooden pallets stuck together. But calling these wooden pallets would kind of not be doing it justice, because there's easily enough wood here to make several rowboats. Because your eyes pan up and you see a mechanically huge giant standing there. This creature is very tall. It has a beautiful curly beard and bald head and is wearing pretty simple clothes, but seem to be pretty pristine, kind of like almost like a toga looking thing. And its skin is made what appears to be entirely out of marble. And in front of it is a large staff that appears to be a great sling. And sitting next to him is many, many more very large rocks that he is aiming to shoot at all of you. You guys once again hear the voice of Celestia Dreamweaver. Marmoros
Stonespine.
That is the end of its turn. Checkers, you've been blasted by a rock and you find yourself in the middle of that ocean. Yeah. What would you like to do?
Checkers is dazed and he is just like, after being smashed by this rock, he's just trying to get a sense of what's going on. And despite however many times Checkers has had this dream before, Marmoros Stonespine has never been part of it.
Yeah, so that's safe to say.
This is a new one. So knowing that his friends are not as seaworthy as he himself is, he's going to take some time to get everyone out of the water as well as he can. So Mango's going to go find Valeska wherever she ended up and just kind of offer himself as a buoy, a little life raft. Checkers, as a standard action, is going to cast Summon Beast for a beautiful Billium.
Hey, Billium! It's been too long, yeah, my friend.
And Billium's going to fly over across the deep blue sea and wrap his tongue around Kaskrin's drowning form.
He is flailing. He is like, oh, God.
And just pick him up and fly him towards Marmoros.
And as a reminder, we haven't seen Billium in either combat or kind of medevac purposes in a while.
Correct.
Could you remind us how very strong is Billium?
So Billium is a baby blue spherical frog with butterfly wings and this long, muscular tongue that he just like rolls out from his mouth. Billium has a strength of 18.
Yep.
So he is more than capable of carrying a square dwarf in his tongue and just ferrying him across the ocean. Checkers, as his movement, is going to dive down underneath the water and move 25 feet towards Marmoros. And that's my turn.
Kaskrin Brightmane, it is your turn. You are being Billiumed.
Yes, I am being Billiumed towards this raft, towards Marmoros. How far away am I?
Billium would be able to, while dashing, fly you all the way over to the raft.
Okay, awesome. Oh, man. I thought I had a whole turn of just like hanging out with Billium. Here we are. Kaskrin needs to get ready because he's got to don his armor, he's got to don his clothes. He is, as a bonus action, going to shape the rock around him and form this sort of like hardened slate armor, giving himself some extra protection as well as, I'm going to say, forming his iconic warhammer in both of his hands.
Nice.
In addition, as an action, I'm going to cast a level 4 spell, Orbital Stones, and pieces and rubble of the pile of rocks that Marmoros is standing next to begin to fly towards Kaskrin and swirl around him until he has 3 of these much smaller stones rotating gently in his vicinity.
Who's your squire?
Ooh, Billium is going to be my squire.
Okay, wow, great. Billiam gets a stone apron, a little stone cap.
Yeah. He has his little, like, vestigial arms.
Yeah.
And they have little stone knee pads and arm pads on them.
Wow. Great. Perfect.
And he is going to shout up at Marmaros, "What is your purpose? What master do you serve?" And that is my turn.
Marmaros looks down at you, uncomprehending, trying to hear you. Sylvasterlin, is your turn.
One more time. This huge giant is on this raft. How big is the raft?
I'm going to say it's probably for as large of a giant.
And also having to be able to support the giant and boulders.
Yes, but it's a dream. Nothing has to make sense.
This is true.
I'm going to say that this giant is a huge creature, and this raft extends, we'll say, 10-ish feet, kind of in all directions from the giant. Please assume, and this is not because I am a lazy GM or because we are doing Theater of the Mind, but because we are fighting in a dreamscape, that it extends kind of as far as you
as
need
far
it
as
to
it
extend.
Needs.
Thereabouts. But yeah, think about 5 or 10 feet that there's roughly kind of some space to be up on it without any problem.
Okay. I am going to swim, I guess, 23 or so feet, half my movement. The edge of the raft, then, would that be within 30 feet of me?
No. You started 60 feet away.
Okay, so I am going to actually spend a key point to dash as a bonus action, which will give me my full 45 feet for the turn. And that should put me within 30 feet of at least an edge of the raft now, right?
Okay.
I'm going to then use shape water to basically create a 5-foot cube of ice underneath one corner of the raft in an attempt to use the buoyancy to tip it up and maybe knock some boulders off or make this giant fall over.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have him roll a dexterity saving throw to see if he can kind of like reshift his weight as this happens.
Okay, and do you want to just use my spell save DC for that?
Yep, that's
okay.
A great idea.
Okay, so that's 14.
Fuck. Nope, that is a failure.
Nice.
So you guys see this block of ice raise up. And it, frankly, this boat is very heavy, but it is also in a dream. So how it's going to work is it's not going to fully tip it over, but the giant is spending so much of his energy trying to stay balanced that he's going to have disadvantage on his next attack rolls. And we'll even say attack rolls against him will have advantage.
Nice. Ooh. Nice.
For the next round. Once again, you hear Celestia Dreamweaver's voice.
Far-eye
Chaturanga Grumbingle.
Grumbingle.
And from the depths of the ocean, something rises right between where Kaskrin and Billiam and Selv is. It takes you a second to realize that it is a huge 10-foot-wide green bubble.
Huh.
And I would imagine that's many people's reaction is, huh.
Yeah, all right.
Cool.
That is, until it pops. Everyone, every player character and or large frog that I just mentioned, could you please make me a constitution saving throw? David, you would have advantage on this.
Hell yeah.
As this noxious bubble explodes and drenches you all. DC 15 was the number you're looking for.
Kaskrin with a 23. Billiam with 18.
Selv with an 18.
So everyone passed. So that's great news. So you only take 13 points of acid damage.
No.
And as you all wipe away this gunk that is still kind of eating away at your skin, you all see a little head pop up over the water. That appears to be a nice lilac-colored grung wearing some sort of large feathery headdress. Veliska Carter, it is your go.
Oh, hi. It's me. I am riding Mango. This is a weird experience. Valeska just says under her breath, "This feels so weird. People do this every night. What? Why?"
Dreams are why? Stupid, actually.
Yeah, I don't like
so
this.
Far, I've been in a dream for 4 seconds, and this is bad, actually.
I hate this. Val, seeing a lot of things happening, will go ahead and, as a bonus action, cast Spiritual Weapon next to the raft. As she's casting it, you just see this wave coming up through the water, like the kind of disrupted force at the front of a submarine. And then all of a sudden you see the spine of a book breach the water as it rams directly into the raft underneath Stone Spine.
Ooh, okay. So are you attacking? Attacking the raft in order to do damage to it.
Yes.
Okay. Believe it or not, I hadn't statted out the raft yet.
16 to hit the raft.
That seems reasonable. That seems like a reasonable. It's a very large raft.
Yeah.
15 points of damage. Dang. To the
what kind
raft.
Of damage? Is this force magic damage. Weapon?
Magic
I assume?
Damage.
Okay. I will say force damage seems like that's something that would probably go through various raft-based resistances just fine. 15 points of damage to the raft. So what happens when you just, like, clobber this thing and does a good amount of damage?
So Val is aiming to split it right between Stone Spine's feet so that this mechanically huge marble giant and their rocks will hopefully sink as they no longer have a raft to hold them. As an action, Val will cast Eldritch Blast.
Ooh.
With two beams.
Ooh. Ooh.
Still aiming at the raft. The lower one is a 14.
We'll say 15 or higher.
Okay.
Is what we're looking for.
10 points of damage.
Wow. Wow. Nice.
Well, the raft is looking rough.
Great. Good.
Anything else?
No. I hug Mango.
Perfect. You are comforted. Take the comforted condition.
Yes.
Great.
For a third time, Celestia Dreamweaver's voice echoes, Virala Devale and her Godslayer axe. Checkers, from behind you, in the open ocean, you hear a primal scream. And if you had any hairs on the back of your neck, they would stand up. Otherwise, you react however a frog reacts to a prickle of electricity. As an action, a hand extends to try and grab you.
Okay.
With advantage.
Oh, no.
A 22 to grapple you.
I will roll acrobatics, try and get out of that.
Okay.
25.
Nice!
Wow. Wow.
So Checkers is in his element, and he's slipping and sliding, and he swims out of the way of this hand that tried to grapple onto him.
Checkers, as you slip and slide out of the way, you catch what has been menacing you. Standing there on a sandbank that was definitely not there a moment ago.
Rude.
And growing larger by the moment, you see a human. They are looking very angry. Very, very angry. One hand is still extended, having tried to grab you. The other one is clutched around something best described as a huge hunk of metal. More than a battle axe. And they are wearing robes that are somewhat, if not directly familiar to you, now kind of a variation on a familiar theme. It strikes you that, boy, these robes look quite a lot like the robes worn by a certain Selv Astralin, as well as the robes of a certain Kavos Pyrolighter. Except, instead of red, they are a beautiful, shimmering, bronze-colored. Because you weren't fully prepared, she is going to use her exploit opening ability.
Okay.
And is going to take advantage on this. A 21 to hit.
And she's using her battle axe?
Correct.
As a reaction, I'm going to use Blessing of the Trickster Wind. And as Varala swings down with this massive battle axe, it catches against the edge of a kite with bells tied to it. And the bells ring. And all of a sudden, this epic axe blow smashes into the raft that Valeska was trying to batter and break.
You guys see the raft now start to take on water as it starts to topple further and further into the ocean. Great news, third attack. That is a 23 to hit.
I have no more reaction.
Okay. 18 points of slashing damage.
Ow.
And another 12 points of lightning damage.
Double ow. So I'm looking, one of my legs just falls off, I guess.
You shed it like you're trying to escape a predator.
Right. Like with that much damage and with the lightning coming in, like you see me just like float to the surface and just start twitching.
Oh no.
It's bad.
Poor buddy. It is the end of the round. Celestia Dreamweaver's voice once again floats through your ears. She says, three fallen champions. Long ago they burned. Now in dreams, they hold the key of what there is to learn. And the scene shifts.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hi, it's me, Sophie. Do you want more Reckless Attack? Then join our Discord and chat with us in our community. The link for the Discord is in the show notes, or head on over to our website, recklessattack.com. We also have a Patreon. You can listen to our new show, Reckless Snack, and other content if you become a patron. We really appreciate your support, and thank you for listening to the episode.
We are now no longer in the middle of the ocean. Instead, we are somewhere new. Next up in initiative order is Kaskrin Brightmane.
Nice.
David, what Kaskrin Brightmane dreamscape do we find ourselves in now?
We are in a king's palace. We are in the hallway of this palace, as there is a grand ball for the celebration of the prince's coronation. There are decorations and chandeliers and these waiters holding hors d'oeuvres, moving between the various doors of this hallway of the ballroom beyond. And all of us are dressed in our finest. Kaskrin has his brilliant black and white tuxedo. He has his cuffs, a nice watch on, and he looks down this hallway with all of the waiters and their wine and hors d'oeuvres, and all of a sudden, the ground begins to shift, and the walls begin to turn as the whole hallway slowly rotates counterclockwise. And yet it seems like nobody is noticing what's happening. The waiters are all still moving as if they would normally walk on the floor, but now it's the wall. However, the rest of us are not so lucky.
Remain tethered by strange dream gravity. Yeah. This is definitely a non-IP infringing image that we find ourselves in. Top of the order. Now that it is round two, you know that this is a dream. And so I, generous Game Master Nathan, am going to allow you to remember that you are in a dream mechanically. I'm going to say, for the rest of this combat, each of you has one special bonus action. We will call it, Remember I'm in a Dream. You can once, for the rest of this combat, do something according to dream logic, and then it will happen. There will be a DC accompanying it, and, you know, use your best judgment or whatever, but get weird. You're heroes. Remember, it's all a dream. Or is it? At the top of the order, Marmoros Stonespine. You can see he is standing down this hallway across from you all, his marble skin shimmering in the candlelight. And he glares at you all, glares at Valeska. And as the room spins, somehow, impossibly, defying all conventions of shape and size, he falls into an open doorway. And you hear a massive crunching from somewhere in a room down the hall from you. Now that the stone giant is gone, none of you see the other two combatants. You're still in the same relative positions that you were, but all you see are various doors on either side of you. Checkers, it is your turn.
Checkers is lying on the floor, which is slowly turning into the wall. And he's soggy, and he's twitching, and he's like, ow, 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 my body, ow. Is there a door next to me?
Absolutely. It is a door immediately next to you.
Okay, can I just open it up and see what's on the other side?
Of course, we'll call that your object interact action.
Yep.
Boy, there's a very big screaming human wearing a gi and wielding a very scary axe on the other side of it, just screaming in your face.
Kaskrin, what is this? As I slam the door shut. Wait a minute. The king's ball? What are we doing here? When I opened that door, did I see a window behind Varala?
Of course. It's a dream.
Okay. What I'm going to do is I am going to... You see Checker's mouth and body just sort of begin to swell up as if he's slowly filling with water. And then what I'm going to do is throw open the door that I just slammed shut. Okay. And I'm going to cast the third level spell, Water Cannon.
Oh.
And what this is, what this looks like is just a geyser of water erupting from Checkers, and it might push Varala out that window that's behind her.
Okay.
So Checkers, the spell component is Checkers going, la, 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 la. And for Nathan, it's a strength saving throw.
That is a 23 strength save.
Okay. So they'll take 7 points of bludgeoning damage, and they are not pushed to the end of the water cannon.
They'll take 4 points of damage.
Ah! So I thought
it's even worse than we thought.
Right. I thought it was scared before, but this is awful.
It is. She is just standing there, just taking essentially a fire hose,
right,
full blast straight to her chest.
Yep.
And seems absolutely unfazed and unmoved by this.
I can't slam the door shut anymore because I already opened it.
Yep.
I'm going to move and run away. I'll make her chase me, all right?
Okay, as a reaction, she's going to take an opportunity attack against you.
Oh, no.
And she's going to go ahead and use a reckless attack against you. That is a 26 to hit.
Yeah, that hits. This may be the first time you've ever heard anyone use reckless attack.
Finally worked it in.
Yeah. I know. You take 16 points of slashing damage.
Ow.
Plus another 9 points of lightning damage.
And with that, the three of you just see this massive axe come down from the door, just right into Checker's back.
Just imagining like a side view down the hall of just this preposterously large axe in hand coming through the door in a way that does not spatially make sense, but just clobbering Checkers.
And he lies still on the ground, bleeding out.
Ooh.
Dang.
And Billiam disappears.
Oh, no. My only friend.
You just flop onto the ground. Yeah. It's like a 2-foot drop at this point.
Yeah. That's the end of my turn. I did 4 points of damage and died.
By the way, the first damage done this whole combat.
Yeah.
By any of the PCs. Kaskrin Brightmane.
Yep.
This is your dream.
It's bad.
You did this.
I did this. I would like to undo this in some capacity. I am going to rush down the hallway.
Yep.
And I'm imagining, like, the hallway is still turning, turning. Castron starts on the floor, and then he starts, like, running onto the wall. And all of a sudden, like, the door is that Varala is in. It's, like, underneath him,
yep.
like a hole in the ground.
Yep.
He is going to jump into that doorway, and he is basically going to try and, like, cannonball himself into Varala and try to get her through the window, through the bottom of the ground, basically. I'm going to make a shove attempt.
Okay, so I'm going to say that she is already kind of, like, grappling onto the doorway already a little bit, but I will give her a disadvantage on this because she doesn't have as much kind of, like, hold on things as you do.
It is a contested athletics check. That is a 25.
Ooh,
nice.
That indeed. She rolled a 19, so you had to roll pretty good.
I rolled a 19.
She rolled a 19 total. So you did great. So what happens?
So Kaskrin basically, like, he's in his tuxedo. He's got these swirling stones around him. He, like, jumps up, grabs his legs into this cannonball, and just, like, plummets through the door into Varala's chest, knocking her off balance. Like, I'm imagining she's, like, grabbing onto all these things and just, like, impacts her. She loses her handhold and begins to fall.
Okay, give me a dexterity saving throw, please.
That is 8.
The both of you tumble.
Okay.
Through this doorway. And she is large enough that she is able to extend one of her giant hands holding the axe out to the side and cleave into the wall to slow and kind of to slow her fall and alter her trajectory a little bit. Kaskrin, you are curled up in a little cannonball and cannot do so.
Maybe not my best move.
You all hear a tinkling of glass.
you just hear, cannonball! And that's my turn.
By the way, as a reminder, Selv, it is your turn. In front of you, the only people you see in this whole hallway other than waiters who still somehow are not paying attention to any of you is Val and Mango, like 45 feet down the hall away from you. And, of course, we should add Checkers' limp body rolling around like an unpuppeted Kermit the Frog.
Each time I roll, that forces a death saving throw. So you have like 3 rotations to save me.
It's pretty bad, actually.
I'm going to move my way down this tumbling hallway to the doorway that Cass had cannonballed himself through.
So you look down and you can see Kaskrin is all the way across the room past a large person whose outfit looks kind of familiar to you, clinging to their axe on the side of this wall, and Kaskrin is clinging to a broken window on the far side of this room.
I had this idea in the last little dreamscape, and I need you to let me know if this would count as my, oh, it's a dream, I can do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hear it.
What I would like to do is, seeing Varala with their axe embedded into the wall and holding on, I am going to try to recreate the ball of acid that I just saw in the middle of the ocean and see if I can get that to dissolve the wall and area around the axe so that they fall.
Ooh, okay. I like that a lot. We'll call that a spell attack roll and go and take advantage because this is fun and good.
Excellent. All right, so you're basically using my spell attack?
Yes.
Okay. 23.
Oh, that is, I was like, oh, we'll give it like a medium difficulty. He's just shooting at the walls. Okay, I didn't need to come up with literally any DC. Great, okay. I will also similarly not roll because that poison bubble did like, this is like a lot of damage. Selv, describe what happens.
So Selv makes his way down the hallway, gets to the open doorway, throws his hand out and just concentrates and mumbles a whole bunch of gibberish like he's heard other spellcasters do. And then this kind of green ball just expands around the area where the axe is embedded into the wall. And it just disappears, and there is a perfectly spherical opening around the axe, which then starts to fall along with the human giant.
And because I am the nicest DM, and that we are indeed in a dreamscape. What I could have said was, now this large creature falls on top of Kaskarin.
Oh, no.
But what I'm going to say instead is that the room continues to rotate, and now the wall that she was holding on to, that is dissolving, is now down. And so she starts tumbling through the hole that you have created and is now, judging by the number of crunching boards that you hear, at least two rooms further down the hallway.
I will just shout down to Cass.
Cass, you all right there?
And Kaskarin, now that the wall has shifted, begins like hauling himself out of the broken window and then like lies on the floor of this room and like breathing heavily. It's like, yep, I'm good.
Val,
mm-hmm.
You hear somewhere, I guess you can call above you, like above you in a relative sense.
Mm-hmm.
Plap, 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 plap. And you clock, it's not Checkers doing this, Plaps.
I see his limp corpse over there.
Indeed. And we'll say that from the side of you, which is actually the ceiling of this building somehow due to dream logic, a chandelier gets punched out. And you see a little grung head poke out of the hole, look in either direction, and look at you and Mango. And somehow that's like pretty interesting. Like, what's he doing? What's the little guy?
Is he ever gonna stop?
Is he gonna stop?
Can he hold it forever?
I would like you and Mango to make a wisdom saving throw against psychedelic drone. And Selv, you actually also have to make this.
Oh.
25.
Fine.
Selv with an 18.
Okay.
Mango also with an 18.
Yeah.
Look at you guys.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
Luckily, and I will let each of you individually say why this drone is only interesting as opposed to psychedelically interesting to you personally, as I still roll for damage. 7 points of psychic damage to each of you.
This is actually just how Mango perceives Checker's voice all the time.
Yeah, that
so
makes sense.
So he's used to it.
Yep. You do this just every day.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like Selv is kind of used to it because Checkers likes to kind of wake him up by wanting to play chess. So it's more like,
yeah, I just perch on your bed.
It's actually a racial trait,
yeah,
in 5e.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. is annoying drone.
Val doesn't understand dreams, so she's just thoroughly confused by this whole scenario.
There we go.
You keep saying dream logic, and that is the one type of logic Val does not understand.
Right, exactly.
So you do this every night?
How does anyone get rest?
Yeah. How does anyone get anything work done? What do you guys read?
Yeah.
Seeing that literally no one was affected by this, you see Far-Eye Grumbingle look up and down the hallway and then just retract his head back into the wall, and you just hear a clap, 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 as the sound of a grung jumping away echoes down the hall. Val, it is your turn.
It is my turn. I will ask Mango to use my movement to move.
Yes, yes. Mango will go where you direct him now that Checkers is gone.
I don't think I can stop good boy Mango from full sprinting to the limp body of Checkers.
Yes, that's also true.
Pretty reasonable.
That's also true.
And I will cast Healing Word.
Great.
10 points of healing to Checkers.
Val, everything hurts. Val, did we win yet?
We're not. This dream is unfortunately still happening.
Gross.
Here. And Val will, Audra, interact Checkers and just like plop Checkers over Mango.
This sucks.
It really does. I can't believe this happens every night for you all. And then Val will hold an action. Can I still do that? Is that a 5e thing? I don't know.
Not if you've like done something.
You ready an action. Yes, but...
Was it bonus action?
I'll allow it. I also don't remember, but I think it's absolutely fine. Yes, you can ready
dream
in
logic.
Dream ready, logic.
Ready in action. That if anybody besides the Golden Tree and or waiters pop through, Val will fire off Eldritch Blast.
Why don't you roll me an Eldritch Blast? Because coming up next is, once again, Vrala Devale, who is now on the far 60-foot opposite direction side of this hallway and blasts a door off the hinge as she is climbing out and looking down the hall in fury.
Oh, no. 20 to hit.
That is a hit.
19 points of damage.
Ouch.
Val positions her body in front of Mago and Checkers. And I didn't explicitly say it, but I hopefully she's behind Self, too.
More importantly, behind Self, yeah.
Perfection. At the top of the order, once more, Celestia Dreamweaver's voice rings out. Still,
so much
is in darkness. Darkness. I hear their dreams. But why do these people dream? Of the elementals once more. And with that, the dreamscape changes once more. Third in the initiative order is Selv Astralin. Steve, where does Selv's subconscious take us for round three of the combat?
Everything kind of shifts, and there is a breeze, except it's a cold breeze, and everybody seems to be standing on the ground, but the ground is actually rushing up towards them. Growing around everyone is a dreamscape version of the arena from the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are, except instead of being fire everywhere, it is these kind of roiling clouds that are acting like they're flowing lava or like spurts of fire, and everybody is in kind of an oval-shaped area that is then itself surrounded by like just a sheer drop-off of clouds. A voice comes on the breeze. In this corner, wearing the red and gold trunks, Selv, the Dragonborn, Astralin! And then coming up on the other side, maybe 60 feet away, I guess that seems to be the standard, is another figure that rises up, and the voiceover comes on once again and says, and their opponent, wearing the copper gi, Vrala Devale.
She stands there, snorting like a bull and just like pawing at the gravel and dirt below her. At the top of the order, Marmoro Stonespine. Is nowhere to be found.
Great, thank goodness.
Except.
Ah.
No.
You see a mechanically huge giant hand claw at the edge of this, I guess, Mesa arena?
Yeah.
And drag the hulking body attached to it behind. He looks around, confused, but looks across the battlefield and takes a couple of steps. And he looks down, and there at his feet is his giant pile of folders. Isn't that convenient? What beautiful dream logic that is. And he drops his war sling and digs his huge hands into this pile of rocks and flings it in a straight line into the arena, straight at several of you. Kaskrin and Valeska are the ones who are the targets of these just piles of boulders and gravel being flung across the whole battlefield. Could you each make me a DC 16 dexterity saving throw, please?
Val failed.
Kaskrin also failed.
Uh-oh. I didn't know. I don't know when I've rolled this many D10s last. Isn't that pretty fun? Isn't that like a fun little
factoid?
Fun little fact?
For you, Nathan. Oh, boy. No.
I rolled 5d10, and I got three nines and a 10.
Oh my god.
That's 40 points of bludgeoning damage as you are all absolutely pummeled.
As a reaction, I am going to use a new level 3 spell called Instant Bulwark.
Awesome.
I can take this reaction when the creature within range takes damage from a ranged attack or area of effect. From the ground, instead of a single stone pillar, you can see this kind of massive, earthen, sandy wall begin to just erupt up from the ground directly in front of us and absorbs the brunt of this pile of stones being hurled at us. This wall has 29 hit points, so the total damage is going to be reduced by 29.
So you still take 11?
Yes, for both of us.
Very cool.
And that's my reaction.
Excellent.
Wait. I have a reaction.
Oh. Okay. Go on.
Val would like to cast Hellish Rebuke.
Okay.
I would...
That's not a cleric spell.
No, would you say maybe it's an asterisk spell? Please have Stone Spine make me a dexterity saving throw, DC 14.
Natural 20.
No! Oh. Makes sense, because it's hellish flames, and he's marble, so...
It just absolutely just wicks off of him. He seems maybe just, like, lightly toastier, and it, in a nice way.
Mm-hmm. Is it all or nothing? There's no half?
Oh, sweet, it's a half one! I'm used to all or nothing! Warlock's great, guys. Everyone should play a warlock.
Okay. Cry is the sorcerer over here.
They will take 6 points of fire damage.
It's been 2.5 rounds, and you guys have done a total of 29 points of damage. Level 8 party, look at you.
Yeah. I don't know that we're the most combat-optimized party. Yeah. I'll say that.
Hey, but I did a lot of damage to a raft. That's true.
I was going to say, yeah, you guys poured a lot of damage into a raft.
I threw myself out a window. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, right?
Very cool. You still have giant stones floating around you.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Checkers, your go.
As a bonus action, I would like to remember that I'm in a dream.
Oh, okay.
And for Varala Devale, it is the final test of combat class. She showed up late this morning, and she's trying to remember what questions were they going to ask on this final, and she cannot remember a single question, a single thing that they taught throughout the entirety of this class.
We officially have to put a content warning on this episode, right? Because this is too real.
Right. And her opponent across from her looks ready, looks solid, is going to ace this test, and she can think of nothing to do in this moment.
Is that like a wisdom saving throw?
Yep, I love that.
Damage?
Yep. What is your normal saving throw?
DC 16.
That is a failure.
Hey, nice.
So we'll say that she is stunned or
can
or
I
whatever.
Propose something?
Yes.
So this is a once per combat thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can I propose that for the rest of the combat, she loses access to her proficiency bonus and all of her class abilities? Because she did not study for class.
I will say proficiency bonus because that's a lot of
okay.
things to think about.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I'll accept that.
But I love that. I think that's a fantastic idea. And you take some inspiration for that very excellent dreamy logic.
Okay, I do have the rest of my actions still, so I'm going to do that real
Bring
fast.
It on.
I'm going to give up my action so that Mango can use Torrential Might. He's going to grow Lord size in this open air arena. And he is going to bound forward towards Varala and try to grab onto her and make her an easier opponent for Selv. That's going to be contested athletics. He also has advantage.
And I will take disadvantage on this as a part of the reaction to you just like psyching her out in this moment.
Cool.
So I'm rolling a straight up one because she is indeed still raging.
14 for Mango.
And Varala fails.
Oh, nice. Okay, cool. So Mango's going to wrap his tongue around Varala and grapple onto her.
You can see she's trying to essentially kick off this large frog, but there's no purchase to be found there. Kaskrin Brightmane.
Kaskrin is going to return fire at, what's his name, Marble Thorn?
Yep. Well, it's a dream, you know, so every...
Stone Spine.
Yeah, Stone Spine Marble Man.
Nouns get messed up, don't worry.
I'm throwing rocks at him. As a bonus action, I'm going to fling one of the orbiting rocks around me, and I'm going to make a ranged spell attack roll. That misses, unfortunately. I'm going to mentally flip the coin in my head, my lucky coin, and re-roll that d20.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not too much better. That's a 15 to hit.
That is exactly a
Ooh,
hit.
Ooh, okay, cool. So, Mr. Marblethorn is going to have to take 20 points of bludgeoning damage.
Youch.
And he is knocked back 5 feet. In addition, I am going to cast Catapult as a third level spell. And he is going to have to make me a dexterity saving throw.
That is a 12.
That fails. And he is going to take 5d8 damage.
Ow. Wow.
That is unfortunately only 17 points of damage. But it continues to be bludgeoning damage.
Ouch. Suddenly, there's a lot of damage that has happened.
Castgren is going to grab his warhammer and begin charging towards the giant. And basically try to get in front of him and the rest of the Golden Tree Guild. He is going to shout, Celestia, why are you showing us this? And that is his turn.
Selv Astralin.
So Selv is going to sprint towards Varala to try to take Varala down. I'm going to make a series of attacks with the Fist of Unbroken Air. The low is 20.
Two hits.
For the first one, 12 points of damage. The second attack is 8 points of damage. I will spend a key point to do 2 additional attacks. It's a natural 1 and a 16.
That is a miss. Glances off her surprisingly metallic gi in a way that is like, oh, is this like, it's almost plate metal that you are glancing off of, but still has the properties of silk and fibers.
And then that will end my turn.
So, you feel a tap on your shoulder. Well, kind of like your, not like your belt area, but like kind of like right in the middle of your back.
Spin around and look who it is.
It is Far-Eye Chaturanga Grumbickle.
Oh, it's you.
You lock eyes. And inside his eyes are strange alien depths, like pits of blackness. And you can feel yourself being pulled in and feel a chill run up your spine as he is trying to frighten you.
What do you want?
Since I am immune.
Indeed.
To being frightened.
Cool.
How are you immune to being frightened?
That would be the ring of the bear that we had found oh so long ago. One of the side effects, is immunity to fear.
Do you remember the circumstances upon which you obtained that, Steve, briefly?
Basically, we were fighting Nazar the Black and trying to defend against his, I guess, an invasion. And we stood with the prince,
Robard.
Ooh,
and
look at you guys.
We stood with Prince Robard against Nazar the Black.
A gauntlet fist plunges into the small, froggy jaw of the creature who was trying to frighten you. A handsome man in what must have once been gleaming plate armor stands before you with a stylized bear head on his breastplate. He is haggard, with roughly cut black hair, beige skin darkened by the sun and dirt, has an air of tiredness. But he stands, eyes narrowed, looking at you before fading away.
We still stand together.
You see this Grung caster crumpled in a heap at your feet. It's still conscious, but is knocked prone and feeling pretty bad. Valeska Carter, your go.
Valeska is still confused as to
walk here. How did we get here?
She doesn't fully understand this dreamscape scenario, but she knows that that giant has lined up his shot and will send forth a melody of whispers, a melody that carries yellow wisps gusts of wind that surround this marble giant's head. And I will need it to make a wisdom saving throw, DC 14.
Fail.
Great.
Nice.
Great. Good.
Don't know what you're doing.
And I'm very casting worried. Dissonant Whispers.
Ooh, okay.
That will be 17 points of psychic damage.
Yikes. Ow.
Nice.
And since it failed, it must immediately use its reaction to move as far as its speed allows away from Val.
Oh, nice.
It had previously dug its heels in, seemingly there to make a stand. And it had this faraway look in its eyes, as if it was seeing without seeing. But then its pupils dilate. His eyes widen.
As I sent forth images of acid and lemon juice seeping in.
Things to ruin.
To its porous marble.
Marble countertops.
Red wine.
And he begins to back away. It is Varala's turn. And she looks around her, lost, panicked, and feeling somehow like she's let someone down. I'm going to say this is the end of her turn.
Oh, hey. Okay.
At the top of the order, the world shifts once more. The world around you dissolves. And you find yourself in a new place. Sort of. In a way, you're back where you started. The kind of featureless space that now that you know you are dreaming strikes you as very strange. The only feature in this place, save for your guildmates, is a building a little distance away. Val, you know exactly what this is. But for the rest of you, it is just a strange sight. Finally, Celestia Dreamweaver, former ruler of the Pentarchy, most skilled sorcerer of her age, conqueror of undeath, bearer of the Shroud of Resurrection, and wielder of the Orchid Pendant, speaks to you once more. See your foes. Remember them. Learn about them. And proceed. And you all wake up. You find yourselves bathed in sunlight, in your beds, back in the guild hall, feeling like you had the worst night of sleep in your entire lives. Also, you feel like you are level 9.
Hey!
Yeah!
Hey!
And Selv, you wake up feeling a stronger connection with the Ring of the Bear, your object of focus.
Ooh.
And that is Real Pickup next time. See ya.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Val bursts out her bedroom door and is like, is that what dreaming is?